The Sample Axis, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
You're listening to the Sample Axis podcast.
Sample Axis, this is the podcast that tells you about samples in Nigeria and everywhere else. We do this every week when we're in season, and we're back with something else that intrigues us, that excites me. We're throwing it back. We're checking some books on, you know, some 80s and 90s music in Nigeria and how that has influenced music today. That's like pretty much what we do, the MO of the podcast. And there's something interesting about today because we want to connect specifically to someone who I appreciate personally, because traditional music in Nigeria suffers a lot because of the contemporary curse, so to speak. Popular music is dominated by the same genre, by the same sounds. So when we find people who represent the locals, who make music in their townships, as small as they are, I want to like talk about and find out about those people. In Ekiti, where I'm from, the genre of music is, you know, traditional music, really. It's called traditional music, but Ekiti music is dominated by late Elemore Ogunyemi. Anybody that has an idea of Ekiti music knows that name. In Ekiti as well, you know King Femi Ariyo. In Ondo State, there is a man from Idori, Sir Francis Akintade. There's a man from Ilaramokin called Dele Ojo. From Ikale, you talk about Comfort Omoge. All of those people, they were the people who made music for towns and villages that did not make it to Lagos. So when I was catching up with one of those people who we're going to be talking about today, much later into the episode, I saw that he was the voice for Warri, a section of Delta State, when it came to music in the early 2000s. In the episode, we will find out more what he did, when he started making music, and all of that. But there is a root that connects to that, which is why it's interesting that today we have on the lineup our own view or our own understanding of reggae music from the beginning of what it is that we know as reggae music in Nigeria, the pieces that we have been able to put together, and, you know, the popular names that you know them from the 80s. I'm sure from the 70s we had some, the Jastics had the prominent group. A few episodes ago we talked about the new waves who were, you know, out in the 90s. We all know about Majek Fasheck, and yeah, up to today. Reggae is no longer a big deal now because Afrobeats and dancehall. In fact, Afrobeats, dancehall classifies now as Afrobeats. So, and those are elements of reggae. So, at every point in time, you have a genre of music that dominates. So, our long and short today, Nelson has refused to rescue my rant. He just left me alone. I'm finding words, I can't find them. He just left me on my own. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the partner I have on this podcast. That's the situation I'm in. But you already know what it is.
I'm sitting there, I'm looking at you like a bat.
Like a bat. I'm just looking at them.
You think I don't know what I'm doing? I'm just looking at you like this. Like,
so that's what it is. If you know Rich Willicky, if you know Blackie, if you know Jastics, you know all these names. That's the essence of this episode. If you know anyone who is very interested in these guys, please send them the link to this episode so they can listen and, you know, they can relive those memories.
Enjoy themselves, basically.
Of those years.
All right. So, yeah, from what my honorable brother was saying before, of course, this is a Sample Axis podcast. And this episode, special one that we're picking off, is a special one because we're doing something very unique and very fresh and, you know, out of the box. And I'll tell you why. There's a part of the Nigerian history when it comes to music that people don't like to talk about as much as they should. Now, we're not saying that they don't give, you know, they don't talk about this, you know, part of the, you know, musical time for Nigeria, but everybody always tries to, you know, talk about the juju, the other guys. And I think the reason why they don't talk about this genre is because of the fact that it did not emanate from Africa.
And it didn't really blow up.
No, it did. You
it
see,
blew up at the time.
It blew up, but it blew up for a short time.
But longevity
it,
was
it,
in
it
there.
It stretched for such a long time. It was like a genre that came around for a while, took a lot of, like, you know, wave in terms of, like, people jumping on it. I mean, the list is endless when we come to talking about people. But then, I think the best way to just do this is to start from the very beginning.
Please help me connect something, because my intro went like, we're going to talk about traditional music, but that's not what we're talking about. So I was talking about the fact that this episode would be, you know, I mentioned something about traditional.
Yeah.
I need you to help me clarify that this is about reggae.
Yeah.
But the part about traditional is that Stereo Man.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stereo Man, let me.
He's a traditional musician.
I think I can help you with that a little bit.
But then he belongs to that breed, sort of the aftermath of reggae, if I can say that.
Exactly.
Marvelous Benji, African China.
I mean, all those guys. Yellow Man.
Linkin Park. No, I said Linkin. Come on. Professor Linkin.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense for you to make mistake of, you know, saying Linkin Park and Professor Linkin. But then we're talking about, you know, dragging it all the way, you know, back.
To this generation.
And then taking it all the way from all the way back, and then, you know, taking every piece and putting it together is like a puzzle. And then we form the puzzle when we get to Stereo Man. Now, Stereo Man is the reason why we even decided to talk about this.
To do this, because...
And it's so funny that we have had this episode...
The song that even brought this idea is nowhere to be found.
We've had this episode for the longest of time.
Yeah, trying to find... Yeah. Okay, where is this song?
I think from season one or two, from Q1 or Q2, sorry... We already had it down somewhere that we had to do Stereo Man. And then we didn't even know the song to do about Stereo Man that time. But I think we just talked about it because, I mean, we went through one of his albums then. And it was so good for, you know, a Nigerian album of that time. And I think it was about 11 or 15 songs. Solid stuff. This was a time where people don't even do music that long. And then he did it like that. So then we decided to just, you know, give like a starters. Like if you're, you know, if you're in a restaurant and you want to, you know, eat your food properly, they'll give you stuff like starters first, then you eat the main meal.
That's refreshment. Then get it's not refreshment. You know, if you're from local palace like me, they call it refreshment.
Like panu. Appetizers.
Appetizer, you get it.
But then this one, they call you, we're giving you starters. So we're starting from the very beginning. So I feel like, I think Boy Guy is trying to set me up. That's why he wants me to talk this stuff, because I really did not want to say a lot this episode. But
there's no way you won't.
I'm
say
being
a lot.
Set up right
People
now.
Know you are the face of the podcast when it comes to when it comes to tea. You serve the tea.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, back to it. So, we have to start all the way from the reggae guys. Now, before Nigeria even came across the reggae genre and all of that, of course, reggae had been popping from like the early 60s. We'll talk about the early 60s. I think we have spoken about Desmond Dekker before. Desmond Dekker and the Aces, you know, starting from songs like Israelites. That's actually pronounced Israelites. Yeah, because of the Jamaican tone for, you know, using H in front of their vowels.
Yeah.
And they also had Shantytown, which I love so much. That one, they used that one for 007 at some point. I love that song so much. I really wish I could sing. I would have, you know, done a little bit of, you know, one of the lines of the song. And then that one was also very good. And then from there you move on to the Wailers. The Wailers had you know, people like Bonnie Wailer, and then we listened to people like, you know, Bob Marley. And then Bob Marley obviously had, you know, the 70s in a chokehold. When I mean 70s in a chokehold, he was touring the world basically, and he was doing a lot of music, and everybody loved the kind of songs and the kind of vibe that, you know, was coming off from that kind of sound. And he was doing everything from reggaeton to raga to, you know, whatever it is, rock steady, ska, all those kind of sound. And that was a thing for Jamaican artists. They didn't like to be in a box. They would always travel around doing many things in the terms of the raga genre. So they would do raga, do rock steady, do ska, do reggaeton. So they don't like to be in a box.
Yeah.
So that's why when you listen to, if you listen to an album from Desmond Dekker and Aces, you would hear in the same album, you hear Israelites, which sounds so much like R&B reggae, which they like to call reggaeton because it has a very funky, cool vibe to it. And on the same album, you hear Shantytown. On that same album, you hear pure reggae. Like, when I mean pure reggae, reggae even till now that, you know, when you listen to people like Lucky Dube, you say, oh, wow, this man actually did stuff like this.
Let me stop you a bit. You're talking about genres and how reggae travel, right? Genres, first of all, how much catalog is there out there?
For reggae?
Yeah, I have many questions to ask. But reggae, how much?
Crazy.
I'm talking about 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm. the catalogue that we have.
Is there a lot of music out there?
Yeah, there is.
Is it Desmond Dekker generation or Bob Marley generation?
Desmond Dekker's generation did not have a lot.
Okay.
Because they were the starting. I mean, that's when you want to move on to the Eric Donaldson and the other guys. Mm. But then Desmond Dekker's generation do it like the pioneers.
The Wailers.
I mean, people call Desmond Dekker, and then this is the thing, people call Desmond Dekker like the father of reggae.
Mm.
Do you understand? I mean, this was a time where, you know, reggae took a turn. Like, it took a different route. Desmond Dekker was not a dreaded person. He didn't have dreads.
Oh, wow.
He didn't have dreadlocks. He would cut his hair, he would dance, dress very fancy.
Mm.
Do you understand? Like a Motown boy.
Yeah.
If you understand, I'm sure I was talking about Motown. Motown,
yeah.
You know, record label, they are still around today. They used to dress, in the olden days, talking about the 60s, they used to dress very fancy.
Hmm.
Wear, you know, premium suits and look good with shoes. And then they make dances, you understand? So these guys were there. But then, you know, it took a switch coming into the 70s.
Hmm.
And then most of them, like the Eric Donaldson, the Peter Tosh, you know, the Bonnie Wailers, all of them started doing reggae in their own way.
Mm. To clarify, there is a lot of content.
A lot.
There is music out there.
Yeah. So if you go down and you want to listen to songs from, especially from late 60s, from like 66 downwards, you have loads of music.
Mm. So when did the traveling or when did the export start? Was it exported to the US first?
Was it
exported
obviously.
To Africa?
Yes.
And how did we... Why did we connect them like that?
Because
Africa, apart from Nigeria,
I want to break it down a little bit.
Okay.
I'm sure I have so many talk.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I told you. And it's not your fault. You have residual knowledge. If it was me, if it was Ekiti Music, if it was Lemure, or a little bit of Pasuma, or a little bit of Two Face.
I'm going to try.
I'm
going to try and
I'll stop you from time to time. To splice in some new knowledge, some alternative knowledge.
Exactly.
So I want to know that exports, 70s, 60s, James Brown was popping in America.
James Brown was popping. Even
did America accept that sound?
Because
you know the black movements too, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X.
Yeah.
The Jamaica is like the...
Let me explain something. So,
the global black capital, does that make sense?
Mm.
It should have been Africa.
Yeah, but like...
Diasporan black... capital,
but you wouldn't blame
sounds
them.
Sounds like Jamaica.
The Caribbean is not that far from America.
From America, so you can understand that.
All right, so you were talking about exports. Now, the music itself, like I said, gave the world a chokehold in the 70s, and that was because of people like Bob Marley,
basically Spence.
The face. Yeah, I was coming to Sonia, and Sonia is like 80s. Mm. Now, Sonia was part of the crew. That were exported to Nigeria firsthand.
Yeah.
And when I mean firsthand,
and this is American
I mean,
record labels.
Yeah, yeah. This is first. And when I mean firsthand, I mean music is out this year. It gets to Africa this year, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
There's a reason why all those things happened. So going down to the 70s, don't forget that people like Desmond Dekker, because of his fancy vibe and all of that, he got opportunities to go beyond Jamaica. So that's why I said something about him having a song in a James Bond movie.
Mm.
It was one of those things they were trying to integrate, you know, let us not be white-centric.
Yeah.
Let us
bring in new cultures.
You know, new culture. And then you go around and you say Jamaicans. Okay, they have, and you know, it was the Caribbean sound they would like to call it then.
Yeah.
It was not called reggae. It was the Caribbean sound. Like, it's a boom, pie, wapoo, my, your dollar, 50. You know, understand what I'm saying? All those kind of songs.
Are you sure that's not rap? No.
No. Turn around and let me see you. Turn around. They had this, you know, Caribbean accent when
it's
they sing
It's like Cuba or Panama.
Exactly.
Belize,
the U.S.
Those
Virgin
cultures.
Islands and all of that. So those ones were called Caribbean music until later. And then in the 70s, like I said, Bob Marley being the face of it all, started making wonderful music and everybody was, you know, vibing with it. Everybody was enjoying the vibe. And that went on for a while. Now, Bob Marley took that opportunity. We had Mango Records then. Mango Records were, you know, the one in charge of Bob Marley.
Hmm.
Now, Mango Records have so much history when it comes to Nigerian music, because they would be the guys that would come and try to poach
Majek.
Before they poached Majek, they even tried with
King
Sunny Ade. That didn't work out. Did for a year or two. And then Majek comes up later on.
Hmm.
So now, coming out to the exports. Now, in the 70s, Bob Marley's music took a wave and was going around the world. So everybody in the world were listening to reggae. Everybody. It was not a small song in one place.
Bigger than pop music?
It was
music.
Bigger than... Yeah, no, no, obviously not. But he had it had his own place.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
But it was bigger than country.
Come on. Country was nowhere to be found at that
rock
time.
Was rock in America. Obviously. But rock wasn't exported like that.
No, rock was an American music. It was
traditional Led Zeppelin, American music.
The psychedelics. Those ones were American music. Yeah. You don't play with those guys. Those are their
but
thing.
Did they export?
They didn't export.
Like that. That's they probably did a little bit.
Even today, they didn't export. Maybe they tried. But like it never got the way they wanted.
Not and
like
it's still crazy. Very big out there in America.
Yeah, but I mean, now maybe it's entering some places, but it's still they still have a very
it's
small
still largely American
abroad. You get I mean, if you are going to a concert of 300,000 people, 90% of them might be Americans. 10% maybe from other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So going back to reggae's already got that hit, and then everybody was listening, everybody was paying attention, and then the death of Bob Marley happened.
76.
Was it 76? Was it? Was it not 2 years? No. It can't be 76.
Maybe 80.
79 or 80. Because I remember they tried to poach King Sonny Ade in 1981.
Mm.
So they did not wait 5 years for that to happen. That one I'm definitely sure of. But then you can, quickly check if you can.
No, just keep going.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can check quickly if you can. And, all of those music, they were looking for people to, get. I said it, 1981.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. 1981. So... all of those music were out there, and they needed somebody to pass the light on to. Now, one of the things that these Americans tried was to switch. They thought the power was not the reggae sound. Hmm. It was just the power of it is an outside sound.
Hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It was an outside kind of music. It was not what we were used to in Afrobeat. This small setup. You get? So let's extend. And at this time, Afrobeat was... 77 Shakara.
Don't get me wrong. I'm comparing reggae at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Afrobeats right now.
I get the idea of like Afrobeats right now is like that song to poach
it, It's the same thing.
It's like the early 2000 waves of Sean Paul.
Yeah.
You understand? And that Sean Paul is reggae.
Yeah.
But now it came in a new form.
Yeah.
It was not in that old reggae style. It was now reggaeton, the modern type.
Hip-hop form.
Hip-hop reggae. I mean, you have I'm Still in Love, all those kind of vibes then.
Daddy Yankee.
And all those kind of cool people. And then you had people like Shaggy coming up. And then you had Bahaman. Who let the dogs out? I mean, that's proper Caribbean music, but it is what it is. Now back to
Who let the dogs out.
Yeah, back to reggae coming around. Now reggae had already gone far, so everybody was already listening to reggae. But in the late 80s, we had a new wave of reggae artists that were making great music.
Junior Culture.
Don't forget that those 70s time. A lot of Nigerians had already started listening a lot to reggae music. Because, like I said, it was the music that of the world that we're listening to.
Mm.
We're not listening to music of America or maybe the Asian music. It was the music that was popping in the world. In that moment in time, it was a big genre in the world.
Mm.
So reggae had to find a way to Nigeria.
And you know reggae...
So what I'm saying in essence is the export was organic. That was what everybody was listening to.
Reggae connects to Africa differently. So you can understand that Africans would vibe to Bob Marley and Eric Donaldson and Sonia Spence differently from they would vibe to Spanish music or Asian music
or Italian music.
Especially because Jamaicans spoke English.
Mm-hmm. Apart from that fact though.
And they are also black. Revered Africa.
Mm-hmm. They are black.
They referred to Africa as their home. Mm-hmm. They talked about Ethiopia. They talked about Africa.
And they were always representing.
Yeah, they talked about Africa Unite. That's Bob Marley. Bob Marley is like a father of, African reggae, if there's something like that, because he really, really spoke to us. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was at that time. I don't know how many concerts he did down here in Africa. I don't know how connected he was with the cultures here, but you can tell from the music, Buffalo Soldier, Dreadlike Rasta, Africa Unite, all of those songs that we know now, One Love, you can feel the familiarity, Jamaica and Africa. I don't know how much record of South African or Zimbabwean or Kenyan reggae we have.
Mm.
But I know that...
Come on, South Africa, Lucky Dube.
Yeah, Lucky Dube is the shining light that we know.
Of Africa, Seth.
But there are many, many other artists. Do we know about Ghanaian reggae? Anything like that?
Nah, they weren't big on reggae. Ghanaian, at the same time, reggae was, being...
High Life was out there.
High Life was... major.
So back down to Nigeria now.
I'm sure they had, but they were not just so popular.
What was our first connection to reggae?
There's no time stamp.
Was it the Jazzix? Was it Rasky Mono?
There was no time stamp to where we were listening, where we started listening to.
I mean, who is the first rallying point? Who was?
The Jazzix. Because they were doing it every 70s. Time. No, late 80s. No.
So 70s, there is no track record of reggae.
No. There was reggae, but there was nobody held on to it like this is the genre to do.
But what
it was just sound.
It was just there.
That we loved. Yeah.
But we don't there. Do we have but any attachments to
till like 83, nobody took reggae serious. I mean, even I'm going to call.
So what was happening in Nigerian music in 95? What was the top 10? What 95? Can we guess? No, sorry, 75. King Sonny Ade, Ebenezer Obey. Yeah, I mean,
like we spoke about that already. The 70s Nigerian music was mostly African.
Juju and Highlife.
African Juju and Highlife. And then Fela had us chokehold from 70s down.
So Afrobeat, Juju and Highlife. Reggae would be there somehow.
Yeah,
maybe
but it
was Bob
Marley
that we're listening
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but we're still listening
and
to.
And there will be some guys who
took,
would be
it
trying.
It took us a while to be able to find our way in this music of in this genre.
So what was Rasky Mono doing in the 70s?
Rasky Mono
that's
was
a
not,
story for another day.
Rasky Mono was not evident in the 70s.
I'm saying that there must.
I mean, Rasky Mono's first album was 1987.
Do you know that Stereo Man had been making music from an interview I watched from 85? He popped in 2005. Ekwe. 20 years later.
But then you look at it and
I'm
say,
saying that to say that
was probably
he was making his Wari, Urobo, Ekwe music in 85.
How old is Stereo Man?
I don't know.
But if he has been doing, if he was.
That's what he said. So I'm just saying that someone may have been trying something. The queen of Nigerian reggae, we'll get to her soon, Evietna Ogoli. I'm sure somewhere
that's
in
I'm
the 70s.
Evietna Ogoli is 65. She's 55 this year.
She was young in the 70s.
She didn't pop till the late. That's what I'm telling you. The ride of reggae in Nigeria took 5 years. I mean, Nigerian music, Nigerian artists doing Nigerian reggae. That's why I'm curious about
what could have been happening.
What
in
could
the
have
70s?
Been happening? Especially
I'm just saying that.
No, especially for Stereo Man. I'm just very curious. I want to believe now. I don't know so much, but I want to believe he was talking about maybe making music from like 10, 11.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Because that's what I'm saying.
I mean, Wizkid started making music 12.
I'm going to draw this line quickly. Sonia Spencer, at some point in Nigeria, was one of the biggest reggae artists. Reason why I'll tell you that is because a lot of people know Sonia Spencer's music. Jet Planes, Pure Love. Those songs were in everybody's houses. Like, you had to hear it at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, if your parents were hip, and I'm, you know, due respect to our parents, some of our parents were not hip. If your parents were hip in that time,
and they knew Michael
Jackson. You know Pure Love.
Yeah.
You probably have heard it one time.
You know,
and this is
Spence.
Not even a joke. This is no joke. This was because these were songs that were repeated several times.
Let me tell you my Sonia Spence story, right? I may have said it before, but my mom always tells me the story about when they were popping. When I say popping, secondary school girls out of secondary school trying to go to parties. She said Eric Donaldson, Sonia Spence, Michael Jackson. Those were the names that she told me about. Like, if they were going to party as young adolescents.
That's what you were looking for.
It had to be you know, pop music, and then at some point, Sonia Spence will come in. Genuine love, sweet love, feel love. You know, young
the
girl.
Fact that, the fact that song is very dirty.
Yo.
It busts my head till today.
I told you about Jet Planes now. Jet Planes is, my mom, when I was four, thereabouts, my mom would play that song if it was traveling. I'm leaving, I'm on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
That's a very great cover of
a song.
We're back to
Nigeria. So Sonia Spence, can you remember what year
Sonia Spence was? 85.
So Nigerian reggae picked up in 81, 2?
No. Nigerian reggae was already around 82, 83, they were already doing shows for reggae.
So let's say Jazzix.
Jazzix were actually around, and Jazzix was Alec McCroy, Black Rice, and Majek Fashek. Now,
Rasky Mono too.
No, Rasky Mono wasn't a major part.
What about Evietna?
They came later. I'm talking about the early guys now.
Okay.
I have been wanting to clarify that for a while.
Okay.
The early guys, Black Christ, Alex McCroy, and Majek Fashek. Now,
all
these
Nigerians.
Guys, all Nigerians. These guys would always work for other people.
Okay.
They worked for the Mandators.
Like record producers?
Yeah, session musicians. They work for session musicians. They work for, you know, they work for the Mandators. They work for Peter Otong at Peter Side Otong at some point. And then they worked for Evierna Ogoli. Now, when Evierna worked with them, I think they started doing a couple of shows together. So they would refer to it as the Jazzsticks, but it should have been Evierna Ogoli and the Jazzsticks. But then I'm sure at some point she enjoyed the, obviously, I mean, these were people she worked with. So they were like brothers to her.
Yeah.
And then they all split at some point. Now, I think Rascomoyo should join at some point to be part of the group and all of that. But the major guys, when you call Jazzsticks, from the original setup, Alex McCoy, Black Rice, Majek Fashek. Now, when these guys split to make their own music, as I said, they splitted was when reggae music started popping in terms of the fact that Nigerian artists now understood what it took to make reggae music. Then we now start having the queen of reggae, Evierna Ogoli. She's an amazing singer, songwriter.
A legend.
A legend.
Absolutely.
She's amazing. I mean, all of her songs, and she took a different route.
Those are classic.
All of them took a different
route. The way it sounds to me, all of her songs by default now sound like classic. Like no matter what she did, when you hear it now, because of that unique voice, you would say, oh, that's Evierna Ogoli, and that's a classic Nigerian reggae song, regardless of what it is. So we know the Happy Birthday song, we know the Half a Kilometer song,
we know Rivera.
Those come across as I can relate to that. Only recently on Twitter, this woman's name came up, Fumi Adams. Nigeria, our beloved country. Straight up memories that you can tell when I was 5, when I was 4 years old, I heard the song on the radio. That's Evierna Ogoli. She's a legend. Now, I don't know if we should go to record business or let's lay that foundation. From the Jazzsticks, what else was happening with reggae?
Yeah, I think the Jazzsticks were the, you know, guys in the limelight. They were the ones that were popping up on TV screens.
There would be other guys in the local parlance.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they were the guys in the limelight because they were the ones that were popping in the scene and all of that. But of course, reggae was taking a new form. When I'm saying taking a new form, we have loads of them and they all came in the same space. So 83 to about for like 3 years before they split in 1986, you understand, to start making music on their own, there were a lot of, you know, artists preparing to get onto the scene. So 1987, when, you know, the music itself, that is reggae. Now, the superstar of reggae for Nigeria, it's crazy as it is, but of course, is Majek Fashek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime you think reggae music, you think Majek Fashek. And then, you know, when Majek Fashek went on and then he signed with Tambasi Records, and where they did two of his, you know, his albums. After that, every other person started picking up. And then we discovered that we actually did have a knack for reggae. Then, if you call, I'm going to call a list of people right now, and it's you'll be amazed that they were around at the same time. Raskimono, Evierna Ogoli, Peter Sarotong, Andy Sherman, Majek Fashek, Oritz Wiliki. New Waves.
I can see Isaac Black, Wally Man.
Isaac Black, yeah, Wally Man, Alex Zito, Blackie. The Mandators. Now, let's talk the Mandators. Victor Esset.
This is 90s now.
And the Mandators. No, still late 80s.
80s, okay.
Victor Esset and the Mandators were one of the people that actually pushed and pushed. They were making music that were for the people. We Arise. There are a couple of songs I can't remember from the Mandators, but a lot of people knew who the Mandators were because they were those guys that were pushing, you know, actively making that music. They stuck to the roots of the reggae vibe and all of that. Permit me to say this, but Majek Fashek bettered it. I'll say why. He made it more Nigerian, more special, and more beautiful. That's why he's the prince and king of it.
Yeah.
Like, you put him as the face.
Yeah.
Raskimono stuck to the roots, but Raskimono understood the basis of the music.
Yeah.
So, he was a standard artist as well.
No food, do.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
you get.
No water. So,
then
no
we had,
place.
Then we had, obviously, Peter Said Otong. We had the prophet. Because Otong had, I wouldn't call him one kind of flow, but he had his element.
A signature flow.
He was very repetitive with his words. He was always, you know, repeating phrases or sentences. So in any of his song, you know, where are the prophets?
I think I know this song, but I can't really remember.
It's actually a very cool one. You know, so, and then he speaks about the ills of the society. Mm. One thing that made all of them
That's
cool,
a Rich Wiliki too. I like that.
Amageddon is a beautiful song. That's, I don't know that I've listened to Amageddon.
I can't remember. But that album, Ten Commandments by Rich Wiliki, is a dope one. Tribulation. Is it? No, it's actually...
Rich Wiliki had
It's actually three Tribulation. And I recently jumped to that album and I love it. Catching up with Rich Wiliki's interviews now, you can tell... He was all about what was going on in the country.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's still actively around today.
Yeah, the problem, if you want to check him on IG, Pupa Orit. Yeah, you said three albums, right? I think one is Conqueror, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. And at some point, too, I saw that story about Orit Wiliki producing the 1999 track for FIFA World Cup under whatever was hosted here. Welcome to Nigeria 99. You are welcome to Africa. That was produced by Orit. So the track list for this 1989 album by Orit Wiliki, Tribulation, is Ten Commandments, Tribulation, Jawworks, Ambush, Fight the Fire. Yeah. Give me a little time, I'll fight this fire. I enjoy that album a lot. Don't blame the youth. Forward, I don't want to lose you. So that's an example of that sound. That's Orit Wiliki talking about the ills of the country. How can we move forward?
Exactly.
You remember the biggest song by this man, Under Pressure. What's his name? Raski Mono. Under Pressure, No Food, No Belly. What's going on? And I'm sure we'll get to the part where the younger generation took it up from them. Reggae is conscious music, the same way Bob Marley did. African China in 2004 was like that guy.
Crisis. Food, you know, they.
That's a Nigerian classic. That's quick one. One thing just popped in my mind. Osag Zalunge, I'm sure would treat that album sometime. That's a classic to me. 2004, everywhere. Then I say them born house. Then see Lando for inside Ajegunle. That's reggae, right? But it's 2004. It's updated. It sounds different, and it's Ajegunle embedded. Go on.
And then we're still going to look for a way to get down to the Ajegunle vibe, because obviously, I think one of the reasons that, you know, we would want to talk about this because of the Stereomanic episode, we would get there. We are basically building the bricks to get to that point. Yeah. This is our last segue, because I don't think we should spend a lot of time on this, because obviously, for part two, this is...
there are more names.
Yeah, there are more names, but I'm going to try and go through all of them. Now, there's somebody used to call the Kinky Reggae Man, and that's Andy Showman. Now, a couple of people might know him from his music. There's one particular song. I'm going to try and remember the name of the song. I'm pained right now. Andy Showman, just, you know, please give me a second. I need to look for this.
Yeah, please.
I need to look for this.
And there is this mixtape we listened to a while ago that had a collage of Nigerian songs, Nigerian reggae songs of those days. I wonder what radio was like, which is a future episode I'd like us to deal with. Let's talk to radio guys who scheduled or playlisted reggae music at the time. What was it in Warri? Was it in Lagos? Was it across the country? Was reggae really dominating radio? Because it sounds to me like the era that had Orit Wiliki, Majek Fasek, the much you would hear on radio, it's like Grady Harrell, Belinda, whatever was on radio at the time must have had Majek Fasek, must have had the New Waves, and, you know, the Dreddy Boys and many of them like that. So how influential was reggae? Lots of people still admit that was reggae in the 80s and 90s heavily before the Afrobeats boys came.
Yeah, so like they had a few songs that did better than reggae would have expected. I'm going to try and just call through a couple of them. I was talking about Andy Showman before, you know, I went off. Save the Masses. Save the Masses is the name of the song that was very big. Andy Showman came back to Nigeria recently. He actually lived abroad for a while, came back to Nigeria, tried to, you know, kickstart. I'm going to try and call a couple of songs that people should understand from this guy. So Raski Mudo had 7 albums. Out of those 7 albums, he had many songs that were great. But many, I think the one that stands out might be Under Pressure and Rumba Style.
Yeah,
I remember Style. That was very cool.
Sounds like Jimmy Jazz may have taken from that.
Yeah. It sounds like that. I think Mike Okri actually did something with that song.
Is Mike Okri pop or reggae?
Mike Okri is too pop.
Yeah,
come on, it's pop. Come on, too pop.
Who did they all be
in this conversation?
Time na money.
Yes, now.
Time na money.
Yes, now. It was pop. It was popular.
Use your time.
And that's why he was the one of the standout, you know, characters of the 80s. Pop. Yeah, yeah, at that time. He was just, yeah, he was even from everybody.
And it was a star boy too.
Yeah, he was a, you know, like poster boy. Because he was making songs that people could play in clubs.
Yeah.
And he could actually perform in a concert.
Play on radio.
Yeah.
Daddies would know. No, and young boys would know too.
Yeah, young boys would want to go and, you know, pick up ladies or women or our mummies or grandmas. Whatever it is.
I recently heard a Michael Cree song that I really love. It's titled in Yoruba. Maybe CC or something.
Ah, yeah, he has one.
I love it.
Is it Yellow CC?
Maybe. But I really love
one,
it.
That is very interesting. There's one.
When
I
you
know,
say Michael like Green, that, I know what you mean.
You know, come on. Michael Green is a bad guy. No jokes.
This is Omoge. Omoge is popular.
I know Omoge now.
You know, Wisdom is a Nigerian classic.
You know,
tell your mama,
also.
Tell your papa.
Yes,
no,
yes.
Life go better for you. This is a. Yo, I'm trying to find that song. Omoge is one of his best.
Oh, I know the song. I think it's CC, Yellow CC or something.
Yeah, Orin Tuntun. Yeah, this is the song I'm looking for.
Okay.
Orin Tuntun. So, this reminds you of, you know, American pop music, right?
Yeah.
The production is so... But I just like the fact that this was titled in Yoruba and he... Michael Cree is that guy, pop music, and reggae music, back to Evie Edna and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap up on that generation. Like you said, we would do a part two where we might talk to someone, possibly. Let's get some more perspective about what happened in the 80s and 90s.
Mm.
But at what point did we start to change? I think Majek Fashek.
No, before
Balungo music,
Majek Fashek already, he started trying from the early days. The first few songs he did were pure reggae. But after the one he did with talking about the Spirit of Conscience, that album, he switched. Then he started to do Bangalore music, and that's when it made more sense, because when he did So Long Too Long should be 1991, if I'm not mistaken. It should be 1991. So then he had already changed the idea of how the music was being done, and his band already.
The first time I came to New York, I used to think New York was heaven on earth.
I knew you were going to do this. I swear.
Homeless people on the streets of New York.
I knew. See, this madness was going to come out. I knew there was no way we were going to come.
But I came back to Nigeria. Majek Fashek in a New York. Yo, Majek Fashek is so big. It's so big that Send Out the Rain was a thing on radio, like it was major. So,
and the funny thing about it is the lyrics of Send Out the Rain.
Is Send Out the Rain a reggae song?
Yeah, it is.
But it's diluted.
It's, of course it is. That's
mama, 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 yo.
But then, if you listen to Send Out the Rain, just the wordings alone, the fact that the lyrics are so.
Yeah.
Every line is a hit.
Yeah.
Every line.
Yeah.
The sky looks misty and cloudy. You know, every
looks like it's
line,
gonna rain tonight.
It's just so beautiful to put together. Then we had other guys. Now there's somebody that we're missing out.
Bro, we can't. Don't run. We this Majek Fashek talk that we're talking. Ah, mala. I come from the ghetto.
Jesus Christ come from the ghetto.
So that sound changed.
Yeah.
And I hope again we give people like that props for defining today's sound.
But then you think about it and you say, he was one of those people that had the nerve. Every other person.
I don't think it was about nerve.
No.
It's about, I want to do this music, I'll do it.
But it was nerve. Let me tell you why. People like Peter Sidoton was making proper reggae sounds. And it was a hit. Orit Wiliki was making proper reggae sounds.
Root reggae.
You get pure reggae. Now, Alex Zito, in 88, after Wala Colombo,
tell your papa,
and Tickle Me. Now, Tickle Me, such a beautiful sound. Mm. You know, I love Tickle Me.
Yeah, I don't know what you and Skywalker. I don't know what packed
that song. That song has, it's so beautiful.
Mm.
Can you bring out that song, please?
Yeah, let's see.
I just want you to play the, you know, that beginning part of the song.
Let's
and it's not even reggae.
Yeah. The part of the song I like is where it starts to raise. You know, there is a verse, there is a chorus, and then there is the bridge.
Alex Zito, yeah.
The bridge is so beautiful and because it does something like you know, da 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 da.
Yeah.
I don't know what this thing is called in music, right? Where you raise, you know, you introduce all the instruments, the symphony comes in, the orchestra. I don't know what I'm saying.
Isn't it the breakdown? But like,
it's like the breakdown, but it's bigger now.
Yeah, the breakdown. I think the breakdown is just
this thing I'm talking about. You hear it on Way Too Big on Burna Boy's. I just don't know how to explain it. But
I think it elevates
the music from just five instruments to like,
or everything,
seven instruments, yeah, or 10 instruments, and then it becomes busier.
I think it's breakdown.
So I was
going to talk about the song Cameo Candy. I played the song yesterday on my show, my radio show. So we were having that. Yemi, one of my guys, was with me, and when I was doing the show, and then we're listening to Candy by Cameo, Larry Blackmon and his guys. The song was done in 1986. The name of the album, What Up? You guys can check it out. There's this stuff just like Candy. I mean, goes on and on. Then it gets to that part where you're talking about. The moment he gets to that part, I mean, we know all these instruments were there, but like, it's like their moment to shine.
Yeah.
And then we hear the guitar man go crazy. Then we hear the beat guys, the percussion guys are, you know, and then all of a sudden, from nowhere, saxophone.
Everything comes together.
And then
together.
Everything is just happening at the same time, but it's so in unison that you love every part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing about this particular song.
I love Tiku Mi's hook.
And it's slow. It's a slow reggae song.
Yeah, a slow reggae song.
Back
and it's
to
just,
the era.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
Alex
back to
Zito
the era.
Was 80s.
Alex Zito was. He was one of the biggest guys. Yeah, 80s, late 80s. This was Alex Zito.
What I reckon is that he's a reggae guy, but he's also a star boy. He's also a rock star.
And he was a poster boy too.
Yeah,
because he's actually a very fine man if you look at him.
Yeah. He's that. You know. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. That's Starboy,
yeah.
You know, fresh guy. And look at the hair. Our uncles used to do that punk.
That's the hair I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's mustache.
I'm old school to the core, you know.
Yeah, so these were the men who, you know, played it big. So he was like the Starboy of the time. I don't know who was biggest, but Michael Cree was also that guy. Alex Zito, Alex O. But long and short, reggae dominated. But then they didn't last, which would probably be the part two of this conversation. Juju, Fuji, and what would now become Afrobeats survived.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Afrobeats combines all of those things, all of the reggae, palungo, swa, sukus, reggae combines. What am I saying? Afrobeats
combines all
but
of
reggae
that.
As a genre did not survive past the early 2000s.
I think it was because one of the reasons why it was not totally accepted.
Yes, for real.
It was, and I think this is
because when I think about it now,
one of the huge, like, the
look,
biggest mistakes.
We know Shino Peters as your
culture.
As Yoruba boys. We know Shino Peters. Mm-hmm. People like Henry Fajemi Rokun, Dayo Kujore. This was the same 90s.
Yeah, same
Pasuma,
late 80s, early Saido 90s.
Shuka,
and some of them are still around
Juan
today.
Juan, they still play actively because their music connects to a culture. It's like when Egbonjide Taiwo was talking about hip-hop recently, and he said, hip-hop is alien to Nigeria overall. That's not verbatim what he said.
Yeah.
But he ends up to say that the graffiti, the whole hip-hop culture thingy, it's really not, doesn't find roots here.
Yeah, it's not our thing.
And if the roots is not planted, it's not going to germinate.
You know
it's not going to grow.
Do you know a line I just drew now with you saying that? Do you think that's probably the reason why rap is not revered as much?
That's what it is.
Because
that's
if you think about it really, Afrobeat is Fela messing, Afrobeat without the S, was Fela messing around. It's,
you see, Afrobeat that we have now,
It
combines Sonny Ade, combines Kwamwan, combines everybody. Even the high life of Igbo. Look at what Basket Mouth and Dr. Seth are doing.
Yeah.
Everything has a root, connects to
But then the genres that do not have roots here,
can hardly survive.
I mean, and then you have
it's
to
give a niche.
It to hip-hop. Hip-hop has been around for over 20 years now in Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah.
At least 21, 22 years.
Because
22
it doesn't
years.
Find roots.
It's
hard to germinate.
But reggae did not even last 20 years.
So it's only a niche, a few people who love the music,
mm-hmm.
who connect with the American culture of hip-hop and are able to domesticate in a way. Even when you live, if you are not, and this is not to disrespect people, if you are not the bookie type that is trying to decipher how a medical line makes a double entendre with transportation shenanigans and worry, if you are not able to make, if you don't have time for all those connections, I mean, you won't give too much, too many, you won't care so much about rap and 32 bars, 64 bars going all the way. But there are some of us who like, oh, I heard that line and it connects with this. Oh, I like that. I like the way it sounds. In fact, hip hop, MC Hammer and the rest of them, sound is the thing. The sound is the movement.
Yeah.
It's not all that deep. It is hip hop. Hip hop on one side, hardcore, moved so hard that Kendrick would now do like a history of the Cuban War in a verse and compress it. You say you get.
Yeah, but it's still acceptable. But then, still going back to it, I feel like...
But Future doesn't care about all of that.
I feel
Future
like...
Future makes you, you know, happy.
Yeah, that's a feel-good music, basically. Yeah, I feel like this genre that is reggae had a very big miss. And I'll tell you why. I think years after, Nigerians realized how beautiful that time was. But it was too late to, you know, go back and start doing it from the scratch.
Mm.
I'm going to just call some few names. The reason why we avoided New Waves was because we already spoken about New Waves before. Yardstick was such a big song. We had a Yardstick. It was such a big song for New Waves. Dready Boys, an amazing tune. Waiting for the Time, great one as well. And then Blackie with Rosie. How's it? Rosie
Can
was.
I have a dance?
That was a shutdown, basically. Mm. And you know, those are people that represented reggae culture. Now, with that note and that, those few words, we're now going to move on to talk about the guys that we actually had in mind before, but we will not be talking about them right now.
So yeah, like we said, this episode came about because I heard a song from my neighbor that was. That did like an interpolation or a sample of it just kept saying that. When I heard that, that connects straight to Stereo Man. You see those days when we used to buy Alaba Selection CDs, right?
Yeah.
Stereo Man was always one of those CDs I bought. Stereo Man was number two. I think Sky B, Pray For Me was number one. He's always number one. That's a good way to start the playlist. And then you talk about Phase, maybe Kolomenta or Tattoo Girls. And then there was Zaro Kome. Oriyo. Adas, Ide Kome. See, you are the one for me. I'm the one for you. Only Dome. Better away, yo. So, Stereo Man from Wari, that song was so big. I mean, Burna Boy also sampled it. Maybe we should talk about that. So this particular guy that I heard the song from, the origin of this episode, I don't know the name of the artist. We have searched heaven and earth. We have searched everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Our best guess is possibly Balorang King.
It's not Balorang King, I think. Okay. It's Bad Boy OML.
Bad Boy OML. I tried to find that song on DSPs, but I couldn't. But the long and short is that the essence and the impact of a song by Stereo Man titled Ekwe. Stereo Man had like two major hits at the time. Obeso Mare Gaga, Ide Peni Mi. So Ekwe, now I'm confused. Ekwe is a different song. Ide Peni Mi Gaga is a different song. The video, what he was saying, which was about the suffering of Niger Delta people, the fact that they cannot farm, the fact that they cannot go to farm, they cannot harvest fishes, their land, oil spillage in their land has affected their livelihoods. You know, the many problems, the regular Nigerian problems that are all over the place. Ide peni mi gagao, obeto ma gagao. And if you go further to check his music, you would find there is a song I Got Jesus by Stereo Man as well. Sample Ekwe. It was talking about you must have Jesus, almost like preaching the gospel. I think that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. So I see that he connects so much to that worry element.
Yeah.
And that's the identity. So for that song to be so big, because it was across the country, the song made it to Lagos, made it to playlists.
Don't forget that this was also, I think this stemmed off the fact that it was also the same time that Nigerians were beginning to accept the traditional vibe of reggae again.
But have we established that this Ekwe song is reggae? This Ide Peni Mi Gaga.
I mean,
it's not reggae.
Inspiration is reggae.
Yeah. Dun, 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 but it has a lot of local.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's traditional to the core. But then, You understand
the reason why I would classify or why my mind would go to reggae is because he would easily fall into that Africa China, Professor Linkin, Orisha Femi, the Junglist. Who else was out there at the time? This was the culture. So now let's connect before we go to Burna Boy's tomorrow song with Manifest.
We're already going past another story.
Yeah. Just let's wrap up on Africa China because we have that for part two of this episode. At what point? Africa China's album was in 2001.
Yeah, the first song, Crisis, was one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brother Water. I think it's four.
I think it's one.
Brother Water, no day.
One or two.
I don't think it's...
It's not 04. 04 is too long.
I don't think it's one.
It's 02.
Let me tell you.
02 or 01.
Let me tell you. Because one of the Africa China songs had footages from the Keza Bomb Blast. And that was 2002.
That's why I said 1 or 2. It's not 04.
It could be 04. Crisis. Or it could be...
It can be 04.
Food, no day. Brother, Mr. President, leave as well. I love that... era, and that was the same era that had, you know, Damn Food Drivers. This was, you know, big time. 2003 and 4. So, what's the relationship between reggae music and Ajegunle music? We will try to establish that connection because I cannot see the rebellious energy that reggae has in that culture. Ajegunle music, Marvelous Benji, you know, trying to talk about what the government is doing and how they are suffering. I think reggae comes from that as well. So, yeah, push forward to Burna Boy's song featuring Manifest on that African Giants album.
As well as Another Story. As well as Bad Boy ML sampling Stereo Man. We can't say that since we can't confirm.
Okay,
we would say, but then are we going to be, yeah, I think we'll be able to play.
No, we can't.
We can't. Oh, I really wish we'd be able to play. Maybe we'll drop a link or something.
Yes, yes, we'll do our best. But even the link that the mixtape that I heard it from is off DSPs.
I think I have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see how that goes.
I have some. Yeah, yeah. But I have that. I extracted that part one time. Remember? Yeah. So I think I have it somewhere in my.
Now the point we're making is that Stereo Man's song still makes impact 10, 25 years later, and Burna Boy is probably the biggest carrier, because Burna Boy is on that global level, and that song, that sound, is in New York, is in the Caribbean, is in America, is across Africa. People know. Well, well, it depends me, gaga. It depends me. It takes it. It adds a different feeling to it, and then it.
That's a beautiful way of sampling music, though.
Yeah, it changes but the story is the same.
Yeah.
This problem is affecting us, it's paining us, literally. So I think that's a good place to wrap up. Any more things to say about
I'd like to talk more on that when we get to the episode.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go fully into Stereo Man, this kind of music. We'll probably talk a little bit of African China and the Ajegunle guys.
Ajegunle culture.
The Ajegunle culture, them, you know, taking in the reggae sound and making it their own, because they had this I don't know what to call it, but it's like, I think it should be called Ajegunle genre, because most of them
there's a name for it. Maybe Soa is a dance.
No, there's a name for it, because Galala. that flow Galala is beautiful. Is a dance, especially those that know how to do it. I mean, you have to like speak the right words, say it in a rhythm.
What and genre was it?
There's some back and forth.
Daddy Shoki, what genre were those?
No, Daddy Shoki, we call reggae. But I think those guys more watered down.
If you see my mama, that's not reggae, that's Nigerian palongo, that's Nigerian popular music.
We'll talk about that.
We'll save all of that for the next, for the part two of this reggae episode. Thank you for vibing with us. Thank you for listening to the end. We appreciate that deeply. Follow us on social media. Share with your friends who love music, who might like what we're doing. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Wega Nelson. We out.
Peace and blessings, baby.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
You're listening to the Sample Access podcast.